You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday. We have made it this far, and we want to welcome you to the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we would love to have you come and join us this weekend and experience the ministry of Danny Duvall, a great, great brother, precious brother, and I guarantee you he has a heart for people. He has a heart to see people thrive in their relationship with God. We are really looking forward to what's going to take place Sunday morning at 10:30. You can get to Merritt Assembly of God from anywhere. I used to live in Palm Bay. You can get here from Palm Bay. I've lived in Melbourne. You can get here from Melbourne. I've got to our church from all over the place, and we would love to have you come and join us. It will be well worth your time, especially if you don't have a church home. Please invest in your spiritual journey. Come worship Jesus. Hear a fantastic word that is sure to challenge and motivate us. See you Sunday morning at 10:30. So when I first came to Merritt Assembly of God, I realized it's off of the beaten path. If you're driving down 520, you won't see us. If you drive down Courtney, you won't see us. Drive down Tropical Trail, you won't see us. We're two blocks away from all of those. Two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney, two blocks east of Tropical Trail, and two blocks south of Merritt Avenue. We're right in the Merritt Park Place subdivision. If you know where Ola's Cuban Kitchen is, H-O-L-A, you will recognize our church. It's directly across Grove Street from there. And so because it wasn't the greatest location, I thought, well, maybe people just can't find us because of our location. This was back before GPS and cell phones and map programs and all that. And then I went to a church that was a substantial church, and it had not a great location. I mean, you needed to know where you were going, or you weren't going to be able to find that church on your own. And I came away from that and said, God, you can do it at Merritt Assembly. You can cause us to be a blessing to our community with your presence, because God, if anybody can find that church, they can find Merritt Assembly of God. We're easier to find than this place is. And so, don't use location as an excuse. Come and join us Wednesday or Sunday, and be blessed as the word of God goes forth in power and anointing. We're going to begin reading today in verse number 21 of Matthew 18. And we read this passage yesterday, set the stage for you so that we can dive back in verse number 24. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you from his heart, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. As I was reading that, I felt impressed to first of all address anybody who may be listening who feels as if they have sinned too much and that God can't forgive them. I want you to know that's not the heart of God. Actually, that is a form of pride, where the Bible says Jesus was the Lamb that was slain to take away the sin of the world. What a person who says, "I've sinned too much and I can't be forgiven," is saying that the blood of Jesus is sufficient for the sin of the world, but it's inadequate to cover my sin. I want you to know it's a lie. Forgiveness is available. Jesus is moved with compassion today to forgive you. This could be the best weekend of the rest of your life if you will just say yes to letting Jesus change your heart, cancel your debt, set you free. The second thing I'd like to say before I get into this is there are a lot of people who treat forgiveness with such triviality that they don't see any need to change behavior. I know people, and listen, God's grace is amazing, but God's grace is not meant to be a license to sin. We're supposed to be so thankful and appreciative of God's grace that we go out and live the way God has made it possible for us to live by the power of God. So don't keep going back and making the same mistake over and over and over again. Let God change your heart so that your heart no longer longs for those things that are destructive. So, we talked yesterday about the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Now, when you're talking about a parable, not every detail is going to have significance. However, there are a lot of details in this story that do have great significance. So, first of all is the relational dynamic. This is a king and a servant. We are not the boss. We are the servants. God is the authority. God is the one who sets the terms. And we need to be thankful that he is the one who sets the terms. It says, "And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents." 10,000 talents. Let me give you an idea. This is describing not all of the king's accounts that of people who owed him things. This was just one guy. The size of his debt was this. A talent weighed roughly about 75 pounds. A talent was basically equivalent, it varies, estimates vary, 16 or 17 to 20 years. So the one that I saw said is roughly about 17 years. One talent equaled 17 years worth of wages. Think about that for just a moment. Think about how much you make a year. Multiply that times 17 years, half of your working adult life, or a third of your working adult life. That's what's being talked about here. Only it's 10,000 times that. What the size of debt that this servant had accrued, where he owed the king, was the equivalent of approximately 17,000 years of wages. Now, I will tell you, I'll tell you a couple of things. That's a lot of debt. And the Bible talks about that the borrower is servant to the lender. That's the reality. The borrower is servant to the lender. And they get to decide the terms. It's a form of bondage. It is financial bondage to be in that kind of debt. Over the past several years, I've seen a lot of videos, and one in particular who had found himself at a point several years ago where he had amassed so much debt that the bank called in all of it. And he had to liquidate, and, you know, he survived that. And what he came out of that situation was that he didn't have too much debt. He didn't have enough debt. And so basically everything in his life, he was operating like royalty with someone else's resources. I was like there were a lot of people who had that mindset, and they were constantly making fun of Dave Ramsey, who doesn't owe money to anybody, and all of his properties and everything are paid for, and they were making fun of him, and, you know, he's okay. If you disagree with me, that's fine. His money systems are based on the Word of God. And I saw recently, as the economy had slowed and one asset had taken a serious dive, that guy was once again in the liquidation process and getting rid of some things that were pretty important to him. They were a status symbol. And listen, I'm sure he's doing okay. I'm sure he's got everything working right, to where he could pay off his debt. But this guy in this parable who had the debt of 17,000 years of wages, that's a debt you can't pay. Now, Here's the thing that I would say about that servant. Can you imagine what a tremendous relationship of trust that King had in him to entrust that much resource into one particular account? I want you to think about that. We're not talking about a guy that walks in off the street and, you know, says, "Hey, can I borrow $1 trillion?" And the banker says, "You know, I don't know you, but sure, go ahead." No, there would have had to have been a tremendously close relationship between this servant and the king at one point in time for him to entrust that much of the king's resources into this guy's stewardship. And the king is settling accounts, and he calls him in, and he says, I'm looking to close out the accounts. And it says that this guy in verse number 25 did not have the ability to pay. To understand this, we would have to go back and understand the systems that were in place. You see, there was no declaring of bankruptcy. And then you get to go back out and make the same mistakes again. I was in an industry one time where I sold furniture, and they wanted me to read this book, and I looked at the name of the author on the book, and he had had a store in my hometown, and the thing that everybody knew about him was he had started a store and it went bankrupt, and started a store and went bankrupt, and started a store. And so there were a lot of people who had loaned him money, and they were never paid back. They were never compensated. And so that's the financial system we tend to understand things with. Well, the guy could just file bankruptcy. Not in those days. You see, when you signed on for a debt, you signed on with your life. I mean, there might have been collateral of a cloak here or a possession there, but if you could not pay the debt, if you were insolvent, you were sent to debtor's prison. And so because this servant who had been entrusted with all of those resources was unable to settle his account, pay it back to the king, it says his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Now, here's the thing. I want to be debt free. Merit Assembly of God, debt free. We're very thankful for that. It wasn't that way always. When it became that way, we changed the way that we operated. It wasn't a debt that I had accrued, but it was a debt that I wanted eliminated. And God gave us favor, and God has been faithful in provision, and we are thankful for that. And so we live by faith, but we also live by wisdom. And employ the principles of God's word. We've seen lean financial times, and we've seen abundant financial times, and everything in between. But we recognize that living by faith and living by wisdom are not two opposing lifestyles. They're complementary. I have faith in God's wisdom. Okay, that may be new. Some of you may have never heard that before. A lot of times we think that faith is only required whenever God is asking us to do something that is contrary to biblical wisdom, or not contrary, but a stretch, something we've never experienced before. But I'm telling you, God's biblical wisdom is true in every situation and every circumstance. Have faith in the wisdom of God. He knows what he's talking about. Okay? And so this guy's not able to pay, and it's not just his debt. It also impacts his wife. Okay? So the command is given. And remember, this is talking, it's being discussed in financial terms, but it's actually dealing with sin debt, a spiritual problem. And it leads this guy to be headed for not freedom, not liberty, but bondage. He is headed for debtor's prison. But it also meant his wife was going to suffer. The world never discusses the price tag of the things that they encourage people to get involved in. In the sexual immorality arena, where they are pushing, hey, it's my body, my choice, my life, all this, they don't ever discuss that the fine print is that those choices are going to have an impact on you. They will have an impact on your health. They will have an impact on your finances. They will have an impact on your relationships. And there will be a wake of devastation as a result of that. You might think, wow, 17,000 years wages. And, you know, you could do the math on that. I didn't take the time for that. I don't know anybody who's making a lot of money 17,000 years ago who thinks what they were making a lot of money then would be considered making a lot of money now. I can't imagine what that number would look like after 17,000 years. And the wife is paying the price, and they had kids, and the kids are to be sold, and everything that they had is considered a loss. I'm here to tell you what this passage is actually saying is that every relationship will be deemed a loss. Every possession that you have will be a loss. It'll all be devalued, because when you're in captivity, none of that matters. When if you're in spiritual bondage, everything else is going to have no enduring capability whatsoever. So what do you do when all of us have this same type of debt? There's a song that said, I owed a debt I could not pay. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. He paid a debt that I could never pay. That's an old song, but it is so very true. When you realize that you have to give an account and it's more than you can take care of, what do? And this servant said, I'm asking you for patience. You're the master. You're the king. Have patience with me. Now listen to what he says. And I will pay you all. I will pay you everything. He is overconfident in himself. But he's asking for forgiveness. He's asking for patience. And it says, the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him. Instead of sending him to debtor's prison, he released him. One of my ministry objectives for 2026 is to see people who are in bondage, who are in captivity, who are trapped by the enemy, for them to be set free, to be released, so that they can live the life that God, the Holy Spirit, wants to empower them to live. Today, if you're in bondage, I want you to know, spiritual freedom is one prayer away. But it requires humility. It requires repentance. It requires asking God for forgiveness, because that's what happened here. Verse number 27, it's where we're going to end on today's program. It said that because the king was moved with compassion, and that's what we're talking about, that there was something on the inside. It was like the internal pressure of getting ready to give life. It wasn't a financially prudent decision. but it was a compassionate decision. And it wasn't that the king was deceived. God's never deceived. But he valued the man more than he valued the resources. Can I just say this? Value God more than things, and value the people in your life more than things. People are not tools to get things. Things are tools to bless people. People are the treasure that Jesus died for. Verse number 27 ends with this, five words, and forgave him the debt. The king was moved with compassion, not just to release him so he could go out and work on paying back the debt, but he forgave him the debt. That means he abandoned it. It said, let me see if I can find it here. He canceled the debt. Abandoned it is the way the lexicon described this particular term. Can you understand that Jesus is not wanting to hold something over our head? He's looking to wipe it out so that we can be set free to live a life. I don't know about you, but man, if I saw, I have a financial spreadsheet so that I know where I am every month personally. And if I saw that I owed so much money that it was 17,000 years worth of wages, I wouldn't be sleeping much at night. I would be looking for all the help I could get to get that down to zero. And then for the king to come and say, I tell you what, I value you more than I value the debt. Let's cancel the debt. That's what the initial act of God moving with compassion on us. It's not just that he sees us that we're vulnerable. It's not just that he sees us when we're sick or infirmed. It's not just that he sees us when we're following him. He sees us when we don't have natural resources. He sees us hopelessly helpless to repay our spiritual debt. And he said, because of the blood of Jesus, I can forgive you. Don't carry your sin burden 1 minute longer than you have to. Surrender to Jesus, ask him to forgive you, and live this weekend in freedom. We'll see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.